is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome into the Lombardi Line, presented by DraftKings, alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. Lots to get into over the course of the next 2 hours. Conference finals start tonight in the NBA. Hockey with an exciting Game 7 yesterday, and NFL players are back on the field for OTAs. 21 teams yesterday, 8 more today. And with that, Michael, the things that make the news around OTAs are, of course, the guys who are showing up when maybe we anticipated they might not. And then, of course, the players who have ongoing contract negotiations and don't show up. There's only so much we can read into this at this point, but there are a lot of names that are making the rounds here.
No question. But first of all, I want to know, how engaged did you have the Edmonton Oilers in your dance card to get to the vision, to get to the conference finals? I mean, did you have that one, or did you tease that one, or did you have one of those plays last night? I want to know that first.
So they're a team, Michael, that like always feel like they should make it to a certain point and then they let you down. I was so excited for them last night to be able to hold on. And I tweeted about it. I thought for a second that Vancouver might end up pulling a Timberwolves like against Denver. Like, I truly thought when they were down 3-0 and Vancouver started pushing to score those two goals late that they might get a third one. But everybody that bet the under is happy. Everybody that bet the Oilers is happy. And I'm happy for Edmonton to get to this point for sure.
Yeah, and I'm happy the Rangers, we get to watch the Garden for at least two more games against a very good Panther team. But to answer your question, I think, look, the OTAs get overblown in terms of who's there, who's not. You know, let's take T. Higgins, for example. You know, he doesn't have a contract, so he can't go. Well, which is kind of a mistake, because if when he signs that contract, it's guaranteed for skill and injury. Whereas right now, if he goes out and he hurts himself away from football, he loses $21 million. Mm-hmm. God forbid that happen. So that's the danger that you run into, right? And so, but if he signs the contract, there's no obligation for him to be at OTAs. There's none. He could stay out. It's only you have to come to training camp. So it doesn't seem, it's not a smart play for him not to sign his tender. Eventually, he's going to sign his tender. And why not protect yourself? Because if something happens outside of football, what we call a non-football related injury, and anytime you're working out on your own, whether you're training for football or not, that qualifies. So those are things. But, you know, like CeeDee Lamb not coming in, big deal? Not really. He's got a fifth year. The offense is staying the same. You know, he has a contract. He can't hold out or else it's going to get Chris Jones expensive. So the variables are all about, look, if I can just create a little wave in the thinking, maybe they'll pay more attention to me and get a deal done.
Yeah. And to your point, like OTAs are voluntary. Once we hit mandatory mini camp in June, we start getting into training camp. Like that's when this is kind of a precursor to that. We get our idea of who's going to show up, who's not. And then we go from there. But you mentioned T. Higgins, of course, he is the only player that was franchise tagged throughout this offseason that was not able to sign a long-term deal. So we'll see if and when he signs that tender so that he can be on the team, because we all expect that he will as the Bengals make a push. But CeeDee Lamb nor Micah Parsons at OTAs. Dak Prescott, I haven't seen a firm report one way or the other, but he's expected to be there this week. Also, no Justin Jefferson out there at OTAs with the Minnesota Vikings, Michael. And he's the one that, to me, I'm curious your thoughts on this. Because Minnesota did just draft a new young quarterback in J.J. McCarthy, they're bringing in Sam Darnold on a one-year deal who hasn't been around. I mean, Justin Jefferson doesn't need to prove anything to anybody. He obviously wants a long-term deal. He's going to be the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL when he gets this signed eventually. But you would think just as a player trying to develop chemistry after all you've really known in the league to this point is Kirk Cousins, to start building that bond, I would think as a player you would want to do that.
Yeah, I would think so, too, eventually. But I think, you know, we're talking about a great sum of money here. And, you know, he has the fifth year, so he will get fined if he doesn't come in. I mean, he's going to be the highest paid wide receiver in the league. We know this. And this contract is going to be shattering. It's going to, everybody's going to want to have another bite of the apple, because what we've seen is a lot of guys who are not great get huge contracts, who are not number one receivers. Jefferson's a number one receiver. He's going to get paid. I think to me, not being there now in these OTA days, not as a big deal. Mini camp and then training camp, he's got to be there. And the thing you worry about is how many times do guys miss this time, right? And then they don't have as good a season, or they're not in shape, or they have something go wrong with them. Something happens, right? So for me, it's like, wow. It's like you're hurting yourself a little bit. Look, I know you don't want to get overworked. I get that. And it's the coach's job to manage the reps at this time. But it's also the players got to get paid, but you also don't want to hurt you. You want to have a great season, too. You don't want to come out and not be the best version of yourself.
Yeah, the big one, obviously, with me being a 49ers fan, that always comes to mind for me is 2 years ago when Deebo Samuel was going through his negotiations. Right. And he said the following offseason, I felt like that hindered me and I wasn't able to be my best self because my mind was elsewhere and I wasn't on the field with my teammates throughout that process. So a great point by you there. Also, with the Houston Texans, a couple of their new pieces not on site reportedly. Neither Stephon Diggs nor Danielle Hunter at OTAs for Houston out the gates.
Well, I mean, to me, this just goes back to the contract. When you sign a guy from a team that's not been with you, one of the things you want to put in the contract is an offseason workout. You want him around your team because if you're going to pay him that kind of money, and obviously they redid Diggs's contract, and they gave Hunter a ton of money. If you're going to pay that kind of money, you want to have some of it in the offseason program in terms of the presence there. And that's really important to your team around. You want your best players or your highest paid players to become the leaders of the team, to show work ethic. That's a little bit disappointing, right? But, they might have prior commitments. I don't know exactly what's going on, and maybe they worked it out in the contract. It's a minor thing, but to me, one of the things that you always wanted to do with contracts is make the players who you're giving the money to show up so they're showing their teammates they're in this thing completely.
Yeah, and high expectations, obviously, for this new version of the Houston Texans, who took a massive step forward last year. Can they continue to build on that? A +110 favorite in the division. And as we continue our OTA attendance roll call here, let's go to the quarterbacks, because we talked yesterday about Tua Tagovailoa being at the facility for the Miami Dolphins and his contract situation. Same situation for Trevor Lawrence, who's in line for a big payday. Who of those two do you think gets a deal done first?
Well, I think Lawrence will get one first. I think Tua is probably waiting because he knows that, he has Chris Greer completely in his corner, that they feel like Tua is the guy that, can lead them to the promised land. I think certainly, what we see in Lawrence, we're waiting for him to kind of break through that shell, right? I think it's really important. My sense of it is it'll be Lawrence first and then Tua will over that. I don't think Lee Steinberg will go first in the deal. I think now that they have the Goff deal done, he knows the target that he has to hit and try to get above that. I think that's kind of where I see this going. But I would say Lawrence first and then this. Look, I think there's so much pressure on Lawrence. I know they need to get a deal done. I get that. But he's got to play better, Stormy. He has to play better because, he might sign this deal. And if they don't win games or make the playoffs, are they going to bring Peterson back? I mean, it's a big year for Peterson. He blew out the entire defensive coaching staff. They made changes there. They've signed more receivers than you know what to do with, right? They got all these receivers. Have they improved the offensive line? I don't know. Are they good enough on defense? We shall see. But it comes down to this kid's ability to throw the ball down the field. Has never averaged over 7.2 yards per attempt. Now, in fairness to Lawrence, I don't think they've done a great job protecting him. Mm-hmm. I don't think they've done a great job of protecting him. And I think to me, who's the backup runner to ATN? If ATN gets hurt, is it Bixby? I don't know about that, right? Mm-hmm. I know Trent Baalke thinks that's the case. But for me, I think this is a lot of question marks on how good is Lawrence? Like, how good is he? When this contract comes in, and if it's over 50, are we sure he's that good? And I was a huge fan. I had my hand up saying he's generational in terms of his talent. But here's the issue. He's not a big man. He's 215 pounds. He's tall. He's linear. And what he did in college, when you go back and watch him at Clemson, he ran a lot. He ran a lot. And he made a lot of plays with his feet. I would say this. You're going to find this crazy, but Jaden Daniels and Lawrence were similar in how they played college football, right? They threw it down the field, made plays, but then they ran too effectively. But he can't run in pro football like that. He's not big enough. He's not Josh Allen. This is the problem. And so you get lured into those plays, but he's got to stay healthy. But I think part of what he has to do is run, and I don't think he can do that.
Well, and you mentioned staying healthy.
Consistently and stay healthy.
Sure. With the health factor of it, last year, the first year where he really dealt with compounding injuries, the knee, ankle, shoulder, concussion. And to your point about the way that he played in college, though, if you're paying him, which you're going to, you're paying him to vault into this elite stratosphere of quarterback that you believe he can be, to be the guy that we saw from him in college and that generational talent you referenced, which he has not proven to be at the NFL level. I know he threw for 4,000 yards last year, but you look through the turnovers, 14 interceptions, tied for fourth most picks, an NFL high 21 turnovers, 7 lost fumbles last year. He had a lot of issues, and this team is going to really rely on him. The start of the season prior to the injuries, though, is where you lean back and say, okay, maybe this is what he could be. They were 8-3. He had the second best completion percentage in the league, finished the year at 65.6% completions, bottom of the league in QBR. Like, there are things that you need to hope he's the first season part of the season of the guy, not the back end season of the guy.
Exactly. And I think to me, the concern is there hasn't been that, you know, what you want to see is that jump. You want to see that spike, and we haven't seen it. For rookie year with Urban Meyer, I get it. Darrell Bevell's the head, the offense coordinator, 6.0 yards per attempt in 17 games. That's horrendous, right? You know, the next year he comes back, he averages 7. And last year it's 7-1. He barely went up. And then as he has gone up, his interception percentage went from 1.4 to 2.5.
I think we got to throw year one out to your point about the Urban Meyer situation, but even in the last 2 years, we haven't seen fully what we need to see in terms of that leap. We'll be right back. We're just getting started here on the Lombardi Line. Pick Your Poison, NFL Scheduling Spots Edition, next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In addition to watching and listening to VSiN Live, don't forget about all the betting tools and content available each and every day at VSiN.com. Best bets from hosts and guests, betting splits, pro tips, and trends. And right now on the homepage, VSiN senior NBA analyst JVT has previews, picks, and predictions up for all things Eastern and Western Conference Finals, daily write-ups in the NHL, Major League Baseball, WNBA, and of course, plenty of NFL offseason content. Adam Burke this week posted a blueprint for all 18 weeks of Survivor, and our own Michael Lombardi with new columns each and every week. The latest this morning, the interim coach dilemma. We will talk about Antonio Pierce's transition from interim to the head man a little bit later on in the show. VSiN.com, your one-stop shop for all things betting. But as we welcome you back into the program alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you, I want to break down some of the sound that we heard over the last 24 hours as NFL OTAs have gotten underway, Michael. And we had some fun with this during rookie minicamp with the GM translator, and I need your help again. So we're going to put your BS meter to the test and get the truth behind some of these sound bites. We're going to start out there in Jets country with Aaron Rodgers, who head coach Robert Saleh said had no limitations. He can, quote, do everything. And entering his 21st season, he knows the expectations that are upon him this year, as well as this coaching staff and team. Here's Rodgers.
You said earlier there's pressure on all of us.
All of us, yeah.
Why do you say there's pressure on you?
Well, I think if I don't do what I know I'm capable of doing, we're all probably going to be out of here. So I like that kind of pressure, though. I know there's, you know, it's a tough market to play in. It's not for everybody. I relish that opportunity. And that's the way the NFL is. I'm not saying anything monumental as you guys are typing away and putting your tweets out. This is how it is every single year. You might not just say it, but as you get older in the league, if you don't perform, they're going to get rid of you or bring in the next guy to take over. I mean, it happened in Green Bay. So, and I'm, you know, a few years older than I was back then. So I expect to play at a high level. I expect this to be productive and competitive and all that stuff to take care of itself.
I think the two big ones there, Michael, were at the end. Well, it happened in Green Bay. That was fascinating. But then at the very start, if I don't know, I know what I'm capable of doing. And if I don't, we're all probably going to be out of here.
Right. I think what he's saying is he acknowledged he didn't play well in Green Bay. in 2021, right? And that caused him to get out of there along with some other things. But he's absolutely correct. Look, they're going to go as far as he can play. I mean, Tyrod Taylor's the backup, and that gives them somebody that maybe could play two or three games. But this is really all on Rodgers and his ability to execute the offense and help the offensive line, help the receivers do the things that he's capable of doing when he was playing well in 21 and 20 when he won the MVPs. We'll see if that can be recreated. Now, I don't know if you can say it's going to happen based on mini camps or OTA days, because there's no contact. You see, there's no pads on these players.
You're going to love this tweet from ESPN's Rich Cimini. Says, a good showing for Aaron Rodgers today. Yesterday, of course. He's rekindling that chemistry with Garrett Wilson, hitting him on two short routes. He zipped a 6-yard touchdown pass to Wilson on a seeing eye pass through traffic. Somehow squeezed it into tight coverage by CJ Mosley. Overall, Rodgers was 8 for 10 on 11 on 11. Keep in mind, this is non-contact, but the QB1 was sharp for a guy who hasn't played a game in a long time. Hashtag Jets. Just like getting Jets fans hyped up already from just the non-contact stuff. It's great. This is what we're going to keep getting.
No question. And look, let's be clear. The Jets are a man-to-man. They play more man-to-man than they have in recent years. You know, they're going to play their cover three. It's not they're a static defense. He's know where they're going to line up. He should look good. You know, Mosley's a really good player. Hard to throw the ball on the Jets inside the numbers. So, you know, this is going to be something to get his feet wet, get him going. But I fully expect him to have a good OTAs. I'm not worried about. I'm worried about opening day against the 49ers with Joey Bosa or Nick Bosa over there rushing down over off of Tyron Smith if he's healthy.
Yeah, no question about it. And the guy who popped that Achilles last year on the opposite side now with San Francisco. So a lot of layers to that. Also, we heard from Robert Saleh at the podium yesterday, Michael, who answered some questions on reports regarding his offensive coordinator. Take a listen.
There's a report that you guys legitimately tried to hire someone who would replace Nathaniel Hackett. What was the thinking there?
I addressed all that stuff at the owners' meeting, so I'm not going to rehash
it. This was a report last week.
It was rehashed from the owners' meeting.
Translation, Michael. What should we be reading through here? I feel like Saul is pleading the fifth again.
Yeah, I think he is. I mean, one thing about Saleh, he'd be a horrible poker player, right? He'd be a horrible poker player. You could see right through him. I mean, you could see it. He doesn't want to indict himself. Can I have my attorney come up here, please? I'm going to need some help here. I'm going to need some legal advice here. You know, you can almost see that, you know, tell him to plead the fifth. Look, we all know the problem, right? We all know that is if they're going to run the basic Nathaniel Hackett, West Coast, very easy offense, that it can be successful to a point, but it's going to need adjustments. It's going to need some creativity. Where that's coming from, I don't know. You know, they had some changes on their coaching staff, but they haven't had the significant changes on their coaching staff that you would suspect. So for me, I think when you break this down, you know, we can talk all about, yeah, well, they're going to try to get more, you know, different coaches in, and they're going to try to do different things. Well, I mean, who's on the staff that's going to take over, and who is going to be that person who takes over, right? I think that's the key question. Who is going to be that, right? They hired a new running back coach in Troy Dews. They hired a wide receiver coach in Sean Jefferson. Everybody else is back. So Nathaniel's going to run it.
And I think the response, by the way, that Saleh had there, or lack thereof, really was pretty telling in the sense that he had the opportunity to shut it down and say, no, we weren't planning on moving on from Hackett. We believe in him. We believe in the trust that he and Aaron Rodgers have together. Like, he had a golden opportunity on the platform, on that podium, to say something, and he elected not to, which sometimes speaks volumes. Let's go
out. Says a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Says a lot, yeah.
Let's go out to Pittsburgh, where we have two quarterbacks in Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, who are both in an interesting position here. Russell Wilson, Mike Tomlin has said, is in pole position to be QB1 out the gates. But here's Justin Fields on his approach to what he is calling a competition.
I'm definitely, you know, competing. I think, you know, Russ knows that. We're competing against each other every day. Him being out there for me, that, you know, helps me getting better. Us pushing each other. So, I mean, I definitely don't have the mindset of, you know, me just, you know, sitting all year. So, you know, I'm coming in every day, giving it all I got, and, you know, pushing him to be his best. And he's, you know, pushing me to be my best each and every day. So, appreciate that.
Where do you see yourself going from here? Do you feel like you're a player that's still ascending and can still grow a lot?
I know I am. I mean, I'm not the same quarterback as I was last year, and I'm not the same quarterback as I even was yesterday. So I'm, you know, going to continue to get better each and every day.
So he doesn't have the mindset he's going to sit for long, Michael. How do you see things shaking out between the two QBs?
I mean, it's the only mindset he should have. He's a young player, right? And he's got his future is, obviously, they didn't pick up his fifth year. He's going to become a free agent. I mean, what would you expect him to say? I'm enjoying holding the clipboard? I mean, seriously, like, what do they expect? Oh, it's news. Justin Fields says he's going to compete. What do you expect him to say? You know, I just like a good clipboard in my hand. You know, I just like that.
Just
and
like
I like to
feel.
Drink Gatorade in between series. You know, like, come on, give me a break. Of course he's going to try to compete. And of course he's going to try to win the job, you know, and none of this is going to be happening until we get to where we have competitive situations. The key for him is to be prepared. It's that old Tom Brady. When you get the reps that they're going to give you, you got to make the most of them. And you can't have a mental mistake, and you can't have a mental error. You've got to be able to handle all that. And so he's got to win over coaches. We'll see how that works out. But I would expect him to compete because his career is at a crossroads right now. He got traded for a 2025 sixth-round pick, which is essentially a seventh-round pick this year.
And it's interesting you mentioned they don't pick up the fifth-year option. They also don't owe anything to Russell Wilson because Denver is paying him so much. So both guys kind of playing for contracts. Steelers win total 8.5, toughest schedule of any team in the NFL this year. Let's hit one more. A guy that you know well in Jim Harbaugh, Denzel Perriman, was talking about his new head coach in Los Angeles. Here's Denzel.
My first impression of Harbaugh, like, I hope I don't get in trouble for this, but like, he reminds me of Will Ferrell. Like, I don't know if it's the way that he talks, like, you know, his analogies and everything, but like they really remind me of Will Ferrell. And I don't know, it's just funny to me. Like, it's funny, but I know like he means well, like everything's come, you know, from the heart. But I feel like you gotta have a sense of humor to understand, you know, like some of his lines and gimmicks. But I love him. I love him as a coach. Like I said, I love the direction that he got us going in. He played the game, he played here, and he understands.
Sound about right to you, Michael?
Sounds about perfectly right. Yes, he is a cartoon. I don't want to call him a cartoon. He's a TV sitcom character. You know, I don't get the Will Ferrell reference, but maybe, you know, I mean, when I think Will Ferrell, I'm always thinking what characters is he playing? You know, Harry Carey and, you know, and that with Jeff Goldblum's one of my favorite scenes that he did, you know. But I think to me, Harbaugh's authentic. He is who he is, and he's not going to bluff it. He is who he is.
I think it's like the way Will Ferrell speaks in some of his roles, like, I'm kind of a big deal. It smells of rich mahogany, right? Like, that's how you have Harbaugh saying, I don't need chicken, it's a nervous bird. Like, those types of things are what come to the forefront. We'll be right back talking more NFL on the other side.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
In addition to watching and listening to VSiN, don't forget about all the betting tools and content available at VSiN.com. Best bets from hosts and guests, betting splits, pro tips, and trends. And right now on the homepage, VSiN senior NBA analyst JVT has previews, picks, and predictions up for the Eastern and Western Conference Finals. We've got daily write-ups in the NHL, Major League Baseball, WNBA, and of course, plenty of off-season NFL content. This week, Michael Lombardi's column covers the interim coach dilemma, breaking down why interim coaches tend to struggle after transitioning to the full-time head coaching gig and how to approach Antonio Pierce and the Raiders in the betting market. Check it all out today at VSiN.com alongside Mr. Michael Lombardi. Stormy Bonantoni with you. So welcome you all back to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Time for another edition of GM Translator.
Uh-oh.
Yes, we need the breakdown. Put the GM hat back on. We need the breakdown as we listen to all of these quarterbacks and coaches talking about contracts right now. Let's start with Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott, who expressed calm patience on Wednesday as it pertains to his contract. Take a listen.
I don't play for money. Never have, never cared for it, to be honest with you. yeah, would give it up just to play this game. So business is business. I'll leave it where it gets handled. Right now it's about being my best for this team right now in this moment. OTA is helping these guys out and just focused on that. So I allow that to the business people to say what it's worth, what they're supposed to give a quarterback of my play, a person of my play, leader of my play, I guess you can say. And for me, it's about, as I said, control I can control and handle that part, and the rest will take care of itself.
Michael, silly us. He doesn't care about money. He never has. He never will.
Well, I think he said it really poorly. What he really is saying there is my agents are going to handle the business. I have stats. I have value. I have worth relative to everybody else in the league. It's their job to make them aware of it and to get a contract that's commensurate to that status within the league based on what I've done. Nothing wrong with what that. To me, when he says he doesn't play for a contract or money, that's not true, because later in the conversation, he understands worth and respect, and that can only come from money, right? You know, I mean, Jerry will pat you on the back a lot if that's all you want. I mean, I promise you, Jerry will do that, but this is going to come with some money. So I think he said the right thing as a leader. I think everybody's going to take the interpretation that I don't play for money as the golden goose in the conversation, when yet in reality is he's letting his agents handle that part. He's going to focus on the football part.
And he's gone through and bet on himself and gotten paid in the past. That's why he's entering the final season of what was a 4-year, $160 million deal that he signed in 2021. Dak is a 3-time Pro Bowler. He was an MVP finalist this past year, led the league in passing touchdowns with 36, just 9 interceptions. So, yeah, Dak knows what he's capable of, and I just think it'll be interesting to see how it all comes together on the field this year with, you know, Mike McCarthy on kind of a lame duck coaching contract, all of those coaches deals that are up. How are things going to work with CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons? And there are a lot of question marks, I think, with Dallas. Despite coming off 3 straight 12-win seasons, they don't have anything to show for it in the postseason.
Well, let's add one more layer to it while you mention that, Stormy. Let's just hypothetically say that Trey Lance is good this summer. Now, I'm not thinking that that can be true. I'm not sold that he can be good. He's in his last year of his deal. They didn't pick up his 5th-year option. But let's just hypothetically say he is good. And let's hypothetically say that Jerry has decided that, yes, I'd like Dak back, but I can't keep paying this ridiculous price because I'm going to pay Lamb and I'm going to play Parsons. And I've got a young quarterback who has promise. Solves a lot of issues. Now you say, well, you have to get Lance under contract. Well, that shouldn't be too hard. I mean, that's going to be a short-term deal that he can grow into, not a long-term deal like Dak. So, you know, let's just hypothetically play that out and say Lance is really good this summer. And again, I know it's preseason and guys have looked great, you know, in the summer. However, Jerry's, they're all making a point they want to look at him. And I think they are making the point that this is getting so expensive. Like Trevor Lawrence and Tua are going to get so expensive at some point. Is it worthwhile to do it? I mean, Trevor Lawrence, to make over $50 million, there's no statistical data to support that he should make that. There's none. You're betting on the come. You're betting. It's a speculation contract. Tua has at least some numbers, but there's limitations to Tua. He hasn't beaten any good team. And if you understand how to play the Miami Dolphins, and if they lose Tyreek Hill or Waddle at any point for an extended time, Tua comes back to the pack, not jumps ahead of the pack. So you got to be really careful here.
Well, I will say, if the Cowboys go down that road with Trey Lance, good luck. As a San Francisco 49ers fan, I can say that firmly.
I would agree, but I'm just hypothetical. Sure. It was hypothetical. Don't yell at me.
No yelling, just, you know, stern tone of voice. With the Cowboys moving forward, again, we'll just have to keep tabs on how things play out for them this season and beyond. Another contract that you just referenced there, Tua Tagovailoa, his head coach, Mike McDaniels, was asked about Tua being present and not present during offseason workouts. Take a listen to this.
He has been here for off-season activities. He has not been here for off-season activities. He has been both. And, you know, I think, you know, important in the player-coach relationship is communication. And, you know, I think however things play out as long as we're communicating and we're on our P's and Q's and what we need to get accomplished, then we have a fighting chance. And it's been a good exercise in our relationship this offseason.
Before I get your reaction to that, actually, go ahead, since you're juiced up about it.
Well, I think it's pretty clear Tua hasn't been communicating with him. I mean, that's really clear to me. Like, you know, every coach wants to know either you're in or you're out. And for him to make the comment, yes, he's been here, and yes, he hasn't been here, and we got to do a better job of communicating, tells me that Tua's been not communicating with him. You know, because that whole tone, if Tua was communicating with him, here's the conversation. Yeah, Tua's here. Sometimes, you know, he tells me when he's not. He tells me when he needs to go back. But he's all in when he's here. He's been great. We have great conversations. We talk all the time. That wasn't the conversation. That conversation was clearly a message through the media to Tua that, you know, we have phones. We both text. We're both, you know, modern 2024 adults here that can use all the technology that's available to us. Use it. Let me know where you are. I'm not going to say you don't belong, you can't come. I'm not going to say you should come. I'm just going to want to know where you are. That's what was going on there. That was rather interesting.
I love that. And also, by the way, the Miami Dolphins this season, among the tougher schedules on paper, obviously we know the AFC East, but they also play the NFC West and AFC South. So 49ers, Rams, Seahawks, Texans, Jags, they've got another game at Cleveland on the schedule. Seventh on the odds board to win the AFC at 11-1. One quarterback whose contract situation we haven't discussed much, which I think does provide a little bit of intrigue, is the Packers' new young quarterback in Jordan Love. Here's him in yesterday's availability in the locker room.
Why do you feel it was important to be here?
Yeah, I mean, that's just something that I've always done. Trying to be here, get the reps in, get the work in with the guys, and just start building that chemistry and getting ready for the season.
Do you have an idea of, like, when you would like that done? Has your agent said you're not stepping on the field for a preseason game until you have a deal done or something like that?
No. So I don't really know what's going on, but we'll see. But, yeah, I'm not going to get into too much contract stuff.
Would you be comfortable playing under the current deal, or is that something that you don't want to do at this point?
We'll see. I don't know yet, you know. We'll see.
Big Daddy's favorite phrase, we'll see, Michael. But
we'll see.
When you listen to Jordan Love and you see what he did on the field yesterday, has he done enough in one season as a starter to get paid as a top eight quarterback in the league?
No, nobody has. You know, everything is, you know, you're speculating. I mean, certainly he's done more than Trevor Lawrence, but you're speculating. And I don't mean to pick on Trevor Lawrence, but I have high hopes for Trevor Lawrence. And he hasn't done that. You know, this kid has, but it's been a limited. Remember, earlier in the season, you watch Green Bay tape. They're hiding Love. They're not showing Love. Late in the year, they were showing Love. And I think there's a huge difference when you watch them. But here's the reality. All those questions that those reporters are asking are meaningless because he has a contract. And, you know, unless he wants to go down the Chris Jones road of what, $50,000 a day fines that cannot be taken back unless you give it to him in incentives? Like, of course he's going to be there. Of course he's going to show up. The only players that have a legitimate chance to hold out without consequences are the ones like T. Higgins, who doesn't have a contract. Like, this whole idea, well, you know, we'll see if I'll show up. Of course you're going to show up. It's $50,000. You're not losing that money. You're going to show up. Right? Like, that's the dumbest questions of all time. Like, oh, will you play under your current deal? Yeah, I have to play under my current deal. They're going to take money away from me. And then it's not a very good deal. God, I don't get this. And nobody know the rules or what? You're asking these stupid questions and nobody knows the rules.
Well, I don't know, Michael. Dak Prescott just said he didn't care about money. See, I just had to throw that out there.
Yeah, well, thank you, Stormy. Thank you. There you go. But I'm pumped.
But every now and then. Okay, we've got to hit the break. That was fun.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're so close to crowning an NBA champion, and with the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Plus, if you're new to DraftKings, listen up. New customers can get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500. Deposit at least $5, and you'll get a bonus bet back equal to your first bet if it doesn't hit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code VSIN, V-S-I-N. The crown is yours.
It's my favorite time of the week. Thursday's my Friday, but this is the best part of the week, right? I get to hear Stormy's take on so many different things, and Elliot does a great job. Let's start off a little close to home here, Stormy. You know, I know your husband, Chris, is a huge Carolina Panther fan, and I know there's a soft spot in your heart for the Panthers, probably low down there, but there is one. So I want you to tell me why you think Bryce Young isn't a bust.
And I'll put this with a little dot, 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 yet. I think it is far too soon and unfair to give him that label after one season. Michael, did he struggle? Yes. Were the Panthers tied with the Giants for the least points per game in the league? Yes. But were there a hell of a lot more reasons than just Bryce Young sucks as to why the Panthers struggled? Yes. Like, look at that offensive line that allowed the second most sacks in the entire league last year. Quarterback sacked 65. Bryce Young took 62 of them. He was the most sacked number one pick since David Carr. He can make plays with his arm. He can extend plays with his legs, but you have to give him a chance. And this guy was beat to a pulp, yet still ended up starting more games than any other rookie quarterback in the NFL last year, despite all of the questions about his size and frame. They invested heavily in the offensive line this offseason, so I think right off the bat, that should be better. He was also crucified for his accuracy last year, but what if I told you, according to Next Gen Stats, that the Carolina Panthers receivers gained the least amount of separation than any other team in the league? So help him out there as well. He also went back and forth between Frank Reich and Thomas Brown calling plays. He saw his head coach fired after 12 weeks in the season. Let's also add into the equation that everything we see from Bryce Young is going to be under an even bigger magnifying glass because of the success, the historic success, mind you, that CJ Stroud had, because he went number two and Bryce Young went number one. I was looking back at my notes from the Sugar Bowl in 2023, which was Bryce Young's last college football game that I was on the sideline for, Michael. And that week, Nick Saban told me Bryce Young is brilliant. Bill O'Brien told me he's one of the smartest players he's ever been around. And in the era of social media, where people are so quick to jump on somebody and quick to judge, let's also remember that Peyton Manning's rookie season, he had 3 wins and had 28 interceptions. Okay, like, give Bryce Young a break. He's not a bust yet. We don't know. Give it time.
All right. So follow up to this is offensive player of the year is 20 to 1. Over under touchdown passes, 18.5. Would you play that over or under? And one more. And then regular season passing yards, over 3,150 yards.
So he didn't get to 3,000 last year. I think that he should. Like, he should and he will. I would lean over in that. I would lean over on touchdowns. And I especially lean over on over 4.5 wins. It's juiced at -135 for a reason. And I'm buying more than I'm selling on Carolina that they'll take a positive step in year one under Dave Canales. I just feel maybe I shouldn't. Maybe it's, you know, wrong no. to have this confidence, but that's how I feel.
Well, that's the value of you being talking to all these people that you do when you're on the road. I mean, Nick's not going to lie to you. Nick told me the same thing about Bryce Young. I mean, he was a Bryce Young supporter. And I think everything you said was 1,000% true. Okay. We heard Roger Goodell yesterday, number two. We heard Roger Goodell's talk every time he talks about player safety. So how in your mind can you equate player safety with adding one more game?
It's mind-boggling. Like, it's getting to the point where this conversation is so played out, it feels egregious. Like, you continue to, in your actions, do things that say you don't care about player safety whatsoever. But you know what? Let's keep adding ticky-tack rules that are impossible to officiate in the name of player safety. Let's get new helmets. Let's keep the guardian caps at practice. All positive things. But if you really believed in player safety, you wouldn't be in a situation where you're scheduling the way that you are, where you're potentially going to have international games for every single player, even more difficult travel to Australia if you go there. You go from one Thursday night football game to potentially multiple Thursday night games. You go to an 18-game season, which, by the way, the collective bargaining agreement can't even be renegotiated until 2030. If you're planting this seed multiple times, 6 years in advance, this isn't because something's potentially going to get negotiated in the future. It's because it's going to happen. This isn't a question. It's going to happen if you're pushing it like this. But this stood out to me. Warren Sharp tweeted, after not scheduling 3 games in 10 days for any team over the last 5 years, the NFL has scheduled this scenario for 10 teams this year. For context, in all of the games the last decade combined, there were only 2 sequences like that, none in the last 5 years. Push it one further. The NFL has also scheduled 4 games in 17 days for 7 different teams this year. There were none of those instances the last 2 years, and 5 total combined in the last 5 years. Like, These players are not people to you, Roger. They are a money-making machine. More games, more prime time, more expansion, more concessions, bigger TV deals, more money. That is what you care about, and player safety is just over here and an excuse to do what you want to do.
Bingo, and until they come up with a way to do 18 games and not have the players play more plays, I'm all for it. I think 18 games is wonderful. I think player snap counts should be limited to a 16-game. I agree with you. All right, let's continue on the football trend. As you go through your handicapping, I always say quarterbacks and head coach, but you take it a little bit deeper than that. Tell us why.
I think it's really important, especially after what we've seen in terms of quarterback turnover the last 2 years. 66 different starting quarterbacks last year, including a record 6 rookie quarterbacks. 2 years ago, 68 different quarterbacks making starts in the NFL. We're seeing a significant time loss on the field and at the most important position, as well as youth. And that's a position that alters a point spread and alters futures prices more than anything else. And for example, if you're looking at schedules, we talked a lot about the Pittsburgh Steelers this year and how they have the hardest schedule on paper by far. But let's say they enter that brutal stretch the back half of the year and they're getting backup quarterback central. Oh, it's not Jalen Hurts. You have Kenny Pickett. No Lamar Jackson. It's Josh Johnson. Patrick Mahomes, I know, plays through just about everything. But what if you're getting Carson Wentz or Chris Oladokun from South Dakota State? And don't look at me and make me sound crazy here, because it happened. We saw the Browns go through 5 different quarterbacks last year. The Vikings and Jets both had 4. We didn't get the Tommy Cutlets experience in New York because it was fun for everybody. So I would just say, like, as much as we look at quarterbacks and coaches, which are very, very important, in your handicaps of these teams, especially with all the turnover we've seen, you need to take it a layer deeper. You need to look at the backup quarterback room. You need to look at offensive lines. You need to look at who a team is playing and when. Heck, you even have some teams like the Vegas Raiders, who we've talked about a lot this week, that do they even have 1 starting quarterback? Gardner Minshew is a great, you know, veteran backup, but a backup nonetheless, who your head coach is saying is competing with Aiden O'Connell. So, like, what are you getting there? I just think those are very, very key important things to be aware of while we have time in the offseason to be doing that research.
I could not agree more. We have 2 more, and I want to get through both of them. Okay, the city of Las Vegas recently awarded each ace player $100,000 in endorsement. Now the NBA is investigating. What do you think?
The argument I keep seeing for the investigation is many players on the team are going to double their income and that it's circumventing the cap. From what I understand and what I've read, the ownership group has nothing to do with it, didn't underwrite or broker anything. And the Las Vegas Tourism Authority went directly to each individual's agent and offered this sponsorship. They said, we love this team. We love what you guys are doing for the city. We want to reward that and invest in you, just like any other sponsorship for any other player. And I love the way that Mark Davis presented this to the world. He said, Nike is an owner of the WNBA and they're allowed to sponsor Caitlin Clark for millions on one player, and nobody's complaining or investigating. And I think it's great Nike's doing that. Give credit where it's due to the Las Vegas Authority for stepping up and recognizing these women. You might not like that this team is getting taken care of and already winning championships and becoming a more attractive destination for players to come play, but get over it. Pay your players more if you're embarrassed that something like this is happening and outdoing your salary cap. The WNBA CBA is outdated. It's awful. It's a joke that a lottery pick is getting $76,000 a year. It's just like it was a joke that the Liberty got fined $500,000 for putting their team on a charter a couple of years ago. So I just say, if you're embarrassed of this, fix it, correct it. I understand the revenue share from the NBA is very, very different from the WNBA, but the NBA also owns 50% of the WNBA. So there are things that we can do.
Step up or step out. I agree, Stormy. Real quick, advice on passwords.
Change your passwords. As somebody who went through having credit card issues this week, which I learned about while we were on the air and gave me massive anxiety.
I saw it.
Change your email passwords. Change your Amex passwords. Change all your stuff. Stay safe out there, everybody. It's not fun for anybody to go through.
Don't use grandkids' names.
Don't do it.